trust your week has been a blessed one. And once again, I'm very thankful to be here with you this morning. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, the author of our salvation, the finisher of our salvation, our divine Savior. We have a blessing this morning. We have our brother and sister Heath with us this morning, Aaron and Sue. And we've had Aaron in our prayers for some times and many times. And we are very blessed to have him with us this morning, and that the Lord has been healing him. And he's strong enough to be here with us this morning. And we ask an interest in your prayers. The Lord has a message. We have a faith, and we have an assurance that the Lord has a message for us. But I ask interest in your prayers. For Brother Aaron, pray yourselves. Pray yourselves. It's one thing for a word to be spoken. It's another thing for a word to be understood and to be felt and then to be used. And so, I can not take any more of our brother's time, but introduce our brother in Christ, Elder Aaron Heath. Thank you, Brother Adam. Am I supposed to put this on?
That's okay, the lady right there.
Okay, good. Good morning, everyone. Good to be here this morning to see all my brothers and sisters and loved ones. I have been so blessed by the Lord. There's no way that I could list all the blessings that my Heavenly Father has in the ways that He has blessed me. And also my wife Sue, of course. And He just continues to work with us even though we go astray many times and we're so weak in the flesh and do things that we're not supposed to. And I have a lot of problems. And the Lord hears about them every single day. How that please continue to help me and strengthen me to get over these weaknesses that I have. Because without Him, there's nothing. There's nothing without Him. And the Lord is so great. I have found some things from a few years back, and I'm going to bring them today. This first one says, a man went to a barber shop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. And as the barber began to work, they began to have a good conversation. And they talked about so many things and various subjects. And when they eventually touched the subject of God, the barber said, I don't believe that God exists. Why do you say that? Asked the customer. Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. He says, tell me. If God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things. The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument, of course. The barber finished his job, and the customer left the shop, and just after he left the barber shop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. He looked dirty and unkempt. And the customer turned back and entered the barber shop again, and he said to the barber, you know what? Barbers do not exist. How can you say that? Asked the surprised barber. I'm here. I'm a barber. I just worked on you. No, the customer exclaimed, barbers don't exist. Because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside. Ah, the barbers do exist. That's what happens when people do not come to me exactly, affirmed the customer. That's the point. God, too, does not exist. That's what happens when people do not go to Him. And so we realize that, you know. And many people are like that, you know. They have all these things that, well, what's the difference and why do we care and all these different things. that there are reasons for all of these different things. I want to go to Romans, 14th chapter. Romans, the 14th chapter, starting with verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. So those are wonderful words. You know, if you're not thinking about the Lord and doing the things that are good and right, you're going against the person who created you, the being that created you, God, our Heavenly Father. And people don't like to talk about religion a lot. Either they're afraid they're going to offend somebody, or they're not going to believe the same way, or whatever. But you know, if we stop doing that, then nobody will find out about our Heavenly Father and all the blessings that each and every one of us get from him on a daily basis, every single day. I'm not very good with computers, but Sue tells me, my wife Sue, not Adam's wife Sue, that she can back up the computer to an earlier date, and if there's a problem with that computer, you know, she can go back a few days and refresh it. And then sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, I guess. But that's it with us. You know, every single day that we wake up, we have an opportunity to refresh ourselves and to say, thank you, God, for this new day that we have. You know, I might have a bad leg or I have this or I have that, but look at the things that I have. And I'm so blessed to have. Every night I'm so thankful for a warm home and just so many things. If you travel to another country and you see the poverty and the things, living in a little hut with no furniture and all these different things, that's about the only way that you can say, boy, am I blessed. I remember years ago when I worked in the factory, and one gal, she took a trip to Poland. Her family lived in Poland. And her mother says, you have carpeting on your floor, and we don't have anything. We don't have anything. And she felt really bad about that, you know, and she started thinking about that, you know. We have so much, and we don't realize how much we have, you know. And it continues on here. I think I stopped at about the end of 6. I'll start with verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. We belong to the Lord. There's nothing we can do about that. We might deny him. We might say he doesn't exist. Some people do, but they will find out. They will find out that they are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So everything that we do, we're going to have to justify unto our Heavenly Father. And as we study and learn more, we find out how sometimes we go astray and do things wrong that we shouldn't be doing. And we need to correct those things. Because when we stand before the Lord, well, I did this or I didn't do that, and I blame them for this and that. He knows. He already knows. The list continues. He's writing all these things down, all the good things and all the bad things, all the time. And his memory isn't bad like mine. He has a perfect memory of every single thing, of every single creature he has created. Every single thing. So we must be careful, and we must pray always that we don't fall into the abyss, into those things of the world and the things that would take us away from our Heavenly Father. It's hard sometimes to get up and to say, well, you know, I really got these problems. I don't need to go to church, and I don't need to do this and that. The adversary is winning the battle when these things take place in our minds. And we have to fight that. It's a constant battle, and we need to be strong in the Lord and to continue on. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that there is a Lord. He is real. I want to go over to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Second Thessalonians, first chapter. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. This is the second letter, of course, of the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from our God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And that's what we have to do, is endure every day the things that come upon us, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Boy, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Everlasting destruction. Boy, I sure hope we're not in that group. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's all about him creating each and everything, each of us, and that we glorify him. And if we don't do that, there's going to be a price to be paid. And I have another article. It's a little lengthy, but I think you'll enjoy it. And I don't like giving a lot of things of the worldly things, but this happened to catch my eye quite a while ago, and it's relevant to the things that happen in our world about us. And I think most of you know Jay Leno. He wrote this, I think it was about 2007 or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but you'll get the gist of it. So the other day I was reading Newsweek magazine and came across some poll data I found rather hard to believe. It must be true, given the source, right? The Newsweek poll alleges that 67% of Americans are unhappy with the direction of the country, in the direction the country is headed, and 69% of the country is unhappy with the performance of the president. I think it was Bush at that time. In essence, two-thirds of the citizenry just ain't happy and want to change. So being the knuckle-dragger I am, I started thinking, what are we so unhappy about? Is it that we have electricity and running water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? In our unhappiness, the result of having air conditioning in the summer and heating in the winter? Could it be that 95.4% of these unhappy folks have a job? Maybe it is the ability to walk into a grocery store at any time and see more food in moments than Darfur has seen in the last year. Maybe it is the ability to drive from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean without having to present identification papers as we move through each state. Or possibly the hundreds of clean and safe motels we would find along the way that can provide temporary shelter. I guess having thousands of restaurants with varying cuisine from around the world is just not good enough. Or could it be that when we wreck our car, emergency workers show up and provide services to help all, and even send a helicopter to take you to the hospital? Perhaps you are one of the 70% of Americans who own a home. You may be upset with knowing that in the unfortunate case of a fire, a group of trained firefighters will appear in moments and use top-notch equipment to extinguish the flames, thus saving you, your family, and your belongings. Or if, while at home watching one of your many flat-screen TVs, a burglar or prowler intrudes, and an officer equipped with a gun and a bulletproof vest will come to defend you and your family against attack or loss. This all in the backdrop of a neighborhood free of bombs or militias raping and pillaging the residents, neighborhoods where 90% of teenagers own cell phones and computers. How about the complete religious, social, and political freedoms we enjoy that are the envy of everyone in the world? Maybe that is what has 67% of you folks unhappy. Fact is, we are the largest group of ungrateful, spoiled brats the world has ever seen. No wonder the world loves the U.S., yet has a great disdain for its citizens. They see us for what we are, the most blessed people in the world, who do nothing but complain about what we don't have and what we hate about the country instead of thanking the good Lord we live here. I know. What about the president who took us into war and has no plan to get us out? The president who has a measly 31% approval rating. That's about the rating of the one now, isn't it? Is this the same president who guided the nation in the dark days after 9/11? The president that cut taxes to bring an economy out of recession? Could this be the same guy who has been called every name in the book for succeeding in keeping all the spoiled, ungrateful brats safe from terrorist attacks? the commander-in-chief of an all-volunteer army that is out there defending you and me? Did you hear how bad the president is on the news or talk show? Did this news affect you so much, make you so unhappy you couldn't take a look around for yourself and see all the good things and be glad? Make no mistake about it. The troops in Iraq and Afghanistan have volunteered to serve, and in many cases may have died for your freedom. There is currently no draft in this country. They didn't have to go. So why then the flat-out discontentment in the minds of 69% of Americans? So say what you want, but I blame it on the media. If it bleeds, it leads, and they specialize in bad news. Everybody will watch a car crash with blood and guts. How many will watch kids selling lemonade at the corner? The media knows this, and media outlets are for-profit corporations. They offer what sells, and when criticized, try to defend their actions by justifying them in one way or another. Just ask why they try to allow a murderer like O.J. Simpson to write a book about how he didn't kill his wife, but if he did, he would have done it this way. Insane? Stop buying the negativism. You are fed every day by the media. Shut off the TV, burn Newsweek, and use the New York Times for the bottom of your birdcage. Then start being grateful for all we have as a country. This is exponentially more good than bad. We are among the most blessed people on earth and should thank God several times a day, or at least be thankful and appreciative. With hurricanes, tornadoes, fires out of control, mudslides, flooding, severe thunderstorms tearing up the country from one end to another, and with the threat of bird flu and terrorist attacks, are we sure this is a good time to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? And it was 2007. Have we improved since the time that he wrote this letter? Have we improved our negativism? I don't know that we have. But I know I hear many things regarding religion. And we hear many things about things changing in this world that should have us very bothered. About homosexuals getting more rights. Different things that you're afraid to say anything to people because you'll offend them, that are against totally the scriptures. And we need to see these things happening around us. The scriptures has told us about things that are happening in the latter days. These things have been happening and get to be worse and worse. If you think about a homosexual family living together and being able to adopt children, and then the children living in that type of situation, and as they grow, they don't know that there's anything wrong with that, because that's where the way they were brought up, either with two men or two women. But there is a problem with it, because it's against the Lord's laws. It's against all the scriptures that we read. But yet they don't want you to say anything. Oh, you do whatever you want, that's fine. You know, you're not hurting anybody. Well, yes, they are. And that's just one example. But when these children grow up, they're going to vote that way. They don't know any other way to vote. Well, I was raised this way. There's nothing wrong with, you know. But there is. There is. But we tolerate it. We have to tolerate it because it's out there. All these things. And we talked about anger a little bit this morning. Yeah. It gets you upset. It gets you very upset sometimes, some of the things that take place, and there's nothing, it seems like, that you can do about it. But we have opportunity to vote. And we have opportunity to, if someone says, well, what do you think about it? Tell them. They might not like it. Say, you might not like my answer. Do you still want me to answer you? And if they say yes, give it to them. Say, the scriptures are right here. It's not right. It's going against God's law. And I don't believe it, you know. We're not going to do that. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, back a couple pages here. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Starting with verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. And I hope and pray that we are all those children that he's talking about, that we continue to have that light of Christ in our lives and guide us and direct us, that we will see the darkness and be able to come away from it, that we will continue to have that light before us to help us. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that little word, obtain, in there is so important. Because that's what, for everyone, that's what everyone has to do. They have to obtain that. They have to obtain the Word of God so that they can study and learn of our Heavenly Father, our Creator, who really did create us. Not some boom or anything else. And that's always bothered me, you know, that they have all these different things, you know, from an ape, and I said, well, where'd the ape come from then? Well, they don't have no answer for that. Well, I said they had to come from somewhere. Or a big boom somehow in the galaxies. Well, what caused that? Something had to cause that. They don't have a beginning for any of it, yet they call it a beginning. We know that God created all things. He tells us over and over in the Scriptures. And if you don't believe it, all you have to do is look around at all the marvelous things that we have, all of the blessings that we see, the healings that we see. Do you think those prayers ascended up to nothingness? When these people get healed miraculously and the doctors don't know what happened? That was caused by a boom. That wasn't caused that way, or by an ape, and listening to an ape, you know, or praying to an ape. There's so much that man has brought on themselves, and the Lord knows that. He's created all things. But we have to remember not to be swayed by any of these perversions or different ideas of man. We have to stay away from it. We have to rely on our Heavenly Father who promises us eternal life. And we can't even imagine some of the Scriptures we read, and it says, you can't imagine what is there for us. We can't even imagine how good it can be without any of the stuff happening around us, all these bad things all the time. We don't have to worry about knee surgery or prostate surgery or anything else. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken are drunken in the night. And then it goes on, of course, down to 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserved. That can be used different ways. If we preserve ourselves or continue to follow the Lord, then we are being preserved. Because it's when we step off that path of righteousness is where we fall into trouble. And we won't be preserved then. Because we know the opposite of good is bad, and so we know if that list that he has for every one of us, you know, it balances. If it don't balance, what's going to happen? We have to be so careful. I'm going to go to the Book of Mormon, page 108 of 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, page 108. I'm going to start with verse 41, go through 50. Oh, the greatness and the justice of our God, for he executeth all his words, and they have gone forth out of his mouth, and his law must be fulfilled. It doesn't say should be, it says must be. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it. And we should do that. Despise all these different things that are coming up. Don't say, oh, well, it's all right. You know, well, that's fine. Let them do what they want to do. No. It's not right. They shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel. For he delivereth his saints from that awful monster, the devil, and death and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God. For he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all men, if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, who belong to the family of Adam. And he suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent. There again, it doesn't say should. It says must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken. I think he was very clear in these writings to these people that he had write these things down so that we would have them before our face this day, that we might read them, that we might learn from them. And as we go from day to day, sometimes they're very mundane, sometimes they're exciting, sometimes they're terrible because of the things that happen. But it doesn't matter what the day brings. We must remember our Heavenly Father and that we are here for only a short amount of time compared to eternity. Even if we live like they used to live in the Old Testament, even 1,000 years if we lived, it would be a short time compared to eternity. So we have the opportunity for this short period of time to do the Lord's will and to tell others of this great God that we have. And, you know, you see and hear about all these crimes that are committed and everything. You say, how in the world could anybody do these things? But they do. They have gone so far off that righteous path. And they don't have any hope unless they change. Unless they change. Or unless someone approaches them and say, you know, do you know the Lord? Do you realize that you have a God? I have relatives that have been brought up in homes that doesn't know there's a God. How could a child being raised up from a baby know about God if the parents haven't told them about God, if they have never heard about God, about going to church or having anything to do with any type of religion? There's probably more than what we know or realize. In other countries, you know, a gal said to me yesterday, she says, well, I think the Lord's coming any day now. What do you think? I says, well, I think there's still some things that has to be done. Well, what? What? I says, well, the scriptures tell us that God's word has to be preached to every kindred, tongue, people, nation, every single one. They have to hear it at least once. I says, I don't think that's been accomplished yet. But I said, no one's going to know when he comes anyway, so we better be careful. Oh yeah, that's right, that's right. And I said, that's what we need to worry about. We can't worry about when Christ is coming back, you know. We should be living a life that if he comes in our lifetime, that we're ready to accept him right then, before he comes. And so all these things, brothers and sisters, we need to refresh our memories, refresh our minds, that God is there. He's always going to be there for us, and we can rely on him, and he'll come through. He's not one that says, well, I'm sorry, I know I told you I'd be over there to help you out, but something else come out, I had an emergency. No, he's there every single time. So God bless each and every one of us in our desires to serve our Heavenly Father. Thank you.